Hey everybody, we've got a great wrestling nostalgia show for you tonight, where we cover Eddie Guerrero's final match ever that took place on SmackDown facing Mr. Kennedy, and we've got some audio from that match, as well as some overall thoughts about Eddie Guerrero, one of the best ever to lace up a pair of boots. So we're going to get everything started right after this. Do you love pro wrestling and over-the-top comedies? You need to watch the hottest new movie on Amazon Prime. It's called The Bachelor Party, Episode 2, It's a Wonderful Lifestyle, The Rise of Showstopper. This film is a parody of Star Wars, Mission Impossible, and other classic movies. It's also the first ever major motion picture produced by wrestling journalists, Sean Valentino of the Pro Wrestling Torch and Rich Twilling of ProWrestling.net. The movie is directed by legendary director Tremaine Hayhoe. It also features former WWE diva and TNA knockout Shelly Martinez in a featured role in a cast of over 50 beautiful models. Also, watch out for a cameo from a WWE legend. In need of a hilarious movie saga during quarantine, Episode 1, The Playboy's Impossible Mission is streaming on YouTube, and the hottest new movie out right now is The Bachelor Party, Episode 2, It's a Wonderful Lifestyle, The Rise of Showstopper. Watch now on Amazon Prime. Hey guys, so retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about, but even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos. And you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. It's Wrestling Nostalgia Night. It's time to kick back. It's time to get in your time machine and come with me as we look at a moment in the history of WWE. We look at a significant moment, one that in this case, we didn't know we were having, right? Typically with these wrestling nostalgia moments, more often than not, after it happens, you know you saw something special. Or you know ahead of time, this is going to be a big moment. It's a big match. It's two legends colliding. It's the culmination of years of work for this individual. In this case, this is a moment we didn't even know we would be remembering. It's a moment that would be forgotten had it not been what it was. And that was Eddie Guerrero's final match ever. And that took place on November 11th, 2005, on SmackDown against Mr. Kennedy, with the stakes of the match being the winner gets to join Team SmackDown for Survivor Series, which was just around the corner. So we're going to dive into that with some audio, with some thoughts, and reflecting on that 15 years later, a decade and a half later, that we had this moment. And as I said, this moment really emulates our lives, where we don't really know that it's going to be an important memory until it's gone, or when we look back, right? And so, you know, in the moment, when you're in the moment, it doesn't seem so special until you reflect on it, right? And that's when you realize, hey, that was an important moment in my life. That was a monumental moment, and I lived it and didn't understand it, right? That's exactly what this was in wrestling world. This was a moment that we look back on, and yes, Eddie Guerrero had a great career. He had really a legendary career, and I've covered a few of his moments here on the podcast, right? I've covered the embrace he had with Eddie or with Chris Benoit at WrestleMania 20 after Eddie Guerrero defeated Kurt Angle. I've covered probably the biggest moment in his career, defeating Brock Lesnar at No Way Out to become WWE champion, which took place in 2004, just a month prior. And so I've covered Eddie Guerrero for those couple of moments, but to look back on his final match, I haven't really gone back to dissect his final match. I've seen clips of it. I remember it, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But first, thank you guys for joining me. This is the unofficial WWE podcast, and we are here almost every single day. We pump out about seven shows a week, and that covers NXT. It covers AEW, which tomorrow will be an AEW show. I know that our current host has stepped aside for a little while, and we've got some substitutes and some very, very formidable ones on the way. So that, no worries. If you are an AEW fan, we will have coverage for you tomorrow. And then on Saturday will be your SmackDown review with Brian and Greg. And of course, Sunday I'll be back to discuss the week in review. So again, ton more to listen to us and a lot more audio to come. And so if you want your audio file, by the way, and I say this because I want to be able to interact with you guys if you're interested in voicing an opinion or getting a comment or rant out, email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com because that will allow me to put your voice on the show and then I can respond to you in real time. So many of you have taken me up on that and I appreciate it, and it's fun because it's like having a co-host and the listeners get to play co-host, right? It just feels like it's you guys who take over for a little while, and I enjoy that. So anyway, thank you guys for joining us. And if you like us, hit us on a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Google or Podbean or Spreaker or Spotify or where the heck else are we? iHeartRadio, like pretty much like anything you can think of. There's very few platforms I don't think we're on. So also Patreon, if you don't want ads, you're tired of the ads, I get it. Head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. You get yourself an entire library ad-free for $1 a month. I mean, break that down per day. It's like pennies a day. Okay, let's get into it. Let's get into Eddie Guerrero and his final match in WWE. And you guys like myself, I'm sure if you're listening to this and you're listening to a nostalgic episode, likely, more than likely, you are a longtime wrestling fan, meaning 10 plus years or 15 years. Now, you may or may not have been watching wrestling while Eddie Guerrero was in his prime in WWE. I encourage you to do that. I really would. And I'm not giving you homework. Okay. This is not detention. This is not a class. But if you want to see somebody that excelled in a sport where he really was undersized and had a big disadvantage of the height and the size that Vince was still hooked on at this time, and we didn't have the real presentation that we had today where it's athleticism and it's smaller, but it's quicker and it's fun and it's fast and it's wham bam, which again, you guys know how I feel about that. I ranted on that on last night's show. It was a time where it was still a land where giants roamed, and Eddie Guerrero grew up in the wrestling business and really had to scratch and claw his way into main event status. And again, I mean, you know, you look at Eddie Guerrero, he's what, 5'10" maybe. And what, you know, that is not exactly Vince McMahon's sweet spot for a main event guy, but here's what it shows you. It shows you that you can still be a top guy if your personality is larger than life. If you have all of the other attributes that require a main event star to be a main event star, and Eddie Guerrero checked all the boxes, which shows you that height is on the surface a limiting factor, but can really work to your advantage. Now, you still see a little bit of that hangover effect of Vince McMahon's, shortcomings, if you will, I guess pun intended, of looking at stars or looking at performers, looking at wrestlers. I don't want to use Vince's terms. They're damn wrestlers. Looking at ones that are shorter, you know, under 6'1" or 6 foot even, and looking at them going, eh, nah, they're not, you know, not tall enough. You see it in Shorty G, right? Chad Gable. Every single time he's on TV, whoever's next to him, whatever heel, has to make a short joke, right? Even the announcers, the heel announcers have to make a short joke. It's still Vince McMahon's, I guess, vision of what a true main event wrestler is. So it's still a little bit bleeding into today, but even back then when Eddie Guerrero was main eventing in 2004, 2005, it was still a land that was not full of Eddie Guerreros, right? You still had Triple H. You had Shawn Michaels, albeit Shawn is a smaller guy. He had already made himself before 2004, 2005, obviously. It was a time where you had Chris Benoit, who I know that, again, I understand the stigma of Chris Benoit. I'm looking at him from a professional standpoint. One of the best ever. That'll never be recognized because of what happened. Understandably, I don't know how really any amount of time that can go by where WWE won't be criticized if they ever recognize the accomplishments of Chris. You can't. I don't think you can, no matter how much time goes by, which is a damn shame considering how hard Chris Benoit worked to get where he was. And I totally get what he did erases him from WWE history. It's like the worst thing you can do, right? So, but I get it. I'm talking from a purely professional standpoint. It's a damn shame that that type of body of work goes right down the drain and is never recognized and never happened. But Eddie Guerrero did kind of follow in parallel with Chris Benoit. If you remember, Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit, along with Perry Saturn and Dean Malenko, came in as the Radicals from WCW when the purchase of WCW was made in 2001. And the Radicals came in and were quickly a formidable group, but you saw right away that the true money is going to be in them splitting up and having their own singles careers. So that's exactly what happened. Chris went his way. Perry Saturn went on to be with Moppy, if anybody remembers that. Those of you that watched in the early 2000s know what I'm talking about. And we had Dean Malenko go on to, I mean, somewhat of an underwhelming career in terms of really the flash and stardom and main event status that obviously Chris and Eddie accomplished. But one of the best technical wrestlers ever, right? He's the man of a thousand holes. And he is truly one of the best ever. Dean Malenko, that is. Now, again, getting back to Eddie, once he broke off from the Radicals, yeah, he tried to woo China. Remember all of those, the dates he had with China and Mamacita and all that kind of thing, and really stealing the heart of China. And he, yeah, it was magic. I mean, here's the thing. Eddie Guerrero made you feel. And that is not something that the majority of the current roster can do. Or at least the priority for WWE and its creative team and mission is to make fans feel. They may say that on the surface, but their execution says otherwise. Right? Eddie Guerrero just had it. He got it. And there's nobody that I can remember in the history of WWE that made me feel more of a range of emotion than Eddie Guerrero. Nobody. And yes, Stone Cold, still my favorite wrestler of all time. That's not changing. The Rock, yes, one of the best ever, one of the most, the funniest, most entertaining. Yeah, you know how it goes. Triple H, one of the best heels of all time. Made me angry so many times. I think one of the most underrated heels is Triple H. Edge has the ability to make me feel. He's one of the few that can still make me feel something. And that's a really, really critical skill. Randy Orton right now, making me feel something for the first time in a long time with his character. Because he's actually motivated. that is something that is absolutely critical for you to have if you want to make big money as a wrestler, as a WWE star. You need to make people feel without it being produced by a creative team, meaning you kind of have to find it yourself. You have to find and know exactly what your character is, who he is, and all angles of it. That is difficult to do. I'm not saying it's easy, but right now in today's current product, again, Edge makes me feel something. Randy makes me feel something, some kind of true emotion. But Eddie Guerrero tops everyone. Eddie Guerrero just had it. And I don't know about you, but back in 2005, depending on your age, I mean, you may be anywhere from not born to you may have been in your 30s or 40s or 50s, right? Myself, in 2005, I was 20 years old. So do the math. I was 20 years old. Partying was my life. I was in college. I was down in Myrtle Beach, you know, all this thing. So like partying and drinking and all that stuff was really what I lived for. And yet wrestling was still a huge part of my life. And even at 20 years old, I was very attached to the Eddie Guerrero character. He made you feel angry when he ever wanted to. He made you feel sadness. He made you feel happy for him, right? When he won the WWE Championship, Championship from Brock Lesnar at No Way Out 2004. The true emotion from Eddie is not produced. It's not written. It just happened and you felt it. He had the uncanny ability to connect. That is not something that is produced. You can't write it. You can't wish it. You either get it or you don't. Right? Because I could go out with the same script as somebody next to me, the same exact words, and I could connect, and the person next to me doesn't, or vice versa. So it's all about the connection, and Eddie had an unbelievable connection, which still resonates today. 15 years later, you still hear Eddie Guerrero chants, right? Because of the connection that we all felt with Eddie. And again, if you have not seen Eddie Guerrero, or you're unfamiliar, just want to refresh yourself, I mean, go to the network. Go to the network, and I would encourage you to watch his promos, watch his matches, obviously, and just watch the nuances, the little things he does to make it authentic. He felt like a true, authentic character. So, alrighty, well, let's kind of dive in, right? Like, let's get to this match. Let's get to the final match Eddie Guerrero ever had. And again, we didn't know it was the final match. I remember watching this match live, not just in retrospect of, oh my God, that was his last match, and remembering it that way. I remember watching this match in real time when it was actually November 11th, 2005. And we all thought Eddie Guerrero was going to live until infinity, right? And we just felt he was 10 years away from retirement. And, it was, to me, if you're going to go out on this kind of match, if you're going to go out, like Eddie being Eddie Guerrero, there's really no better way to go out. Of course, you could have a fairy tale ending of, if he knew truly it was going to be his final match ever in his entire life, I'm sure he would want his entire family there, you know, winning the championship, going out on top, and then knowing he's going to, you know, pass away, right? But we don't have that luxury. Many of us probably won't ever. So, again, but in light of things and given the circumstances, this was probably one of the best ways for him to go out, being authentic and true to his character. And you'll see what I mean as we go along. So this was a match for a spot to be in the SmackDown team at Survivor Series. So it was Mr. Kennedy. And, well, let's just get to the audio, right? Let's start to listen to the introduction here.
Mr. Green Bay best part of the night when Tony doesn't talk.
So Mr. Kennedy does his entrance, and he has the calls down the microphone and really reintroduces himself. This guy, if you remember, he could not stay healthy. I mean, how many injuries did Mr. Kennedy have? It was injury after injury after injury, and I think WWE just eventually got tired of waiting on Mr. Kennedy and just decided to pink slip the guy. I mean, it was... I just constantly remember him out. So he does his entrance. He has the microphone come down like he's a, you know, a sports announcer or a boxing ring announcer. And then, of course, we get Latino Heat.
Since the great Joe McHugh, I'm telling you. Latino Heat calls. And from El Paso, Texas, weighing in at 228 pounds, Eddie Guerrero.
And remember, it was Eddie Guerrero's new buddy, Batista, the World Heavyweight Champion, who brought the World Rider back into the fold, who told Eddie, come on, let's have fun again, Eddie. And Eddie Guerrero's been having a lot of fun, and he'll be having a lot of fun tonight if he can join his buddy Batista on the SmackDown Survivor Series team.
Hey, I think it's great, too. That the collection of Eddie Guerrero and Lowriders are back in the house on Friday Night SmackDown. That is what Latino Heat represents. That's what he's about, baby.
And this is what General Manager Dieter Long's all about. This has been like a special SmackDown here tonight. Survivor Series qualifier matchup all night long.
So we got the introductions there. Eddie comes out as Lowrider. And also, to kind of set the tone here as I'm watching this, you have to keep in mind, too, Eddie Guerrero had just come off kind of a heel run. He's been trying to win the trust back of his peers, and he was trying to win the trust back of Batista and was trying for many weeks to earn the trust back because he had been such a really, honestly, a really great heel. I mean, Eddie Guerrero could play both very, very well, but he was trying to earn the trust back of Batista at this time, and they were going to be teaming on the Survivor Series elimination match as team, part of Team SmackDown, which obviously we'll never know what the story was going to be. You know, I do wonder that. I've never really contemplated where they were going, and I'd love to know, you know, if Vince was here, hey, like, what would have been, what was the plan for Eddie had he not passed, right? Now, whether you get a truthful answer or not, because it's all in retrospect, you know, I don't want him fluffing it up saying, oh, we would have made him champion, but you know, we don't know. We'll never know what the actual true plan was for Eddie beyond this time. But here we go. I mean, Eddie Guerrero in his absolute final match, and it's just crazy, right? Like, when you look at him, he looks like $1 million, and you're wondering, how did this guy have a heart attack, right? How, you know, again, on the surface, you look at him, there's just no way, right? But you have to remember, like, all the previous years of drug and substance abuse takes a toll. After many, many years, I mean, that was one of his big struggles of staying sober, and it just weakened his heart. And, you know, it's really unfortunate, obviously. And so, okay, well, let's get to something a little happy here. And let's listen to some audio here from the right around the middle of the match.
Eddie Guerrero from the get-go.
Kennedy wants to, shake hands, hold his trick in the book against a guy who's been around the block.
Oh! Let me go. This is what Kennedy's all about. He didn't show anybody any respect in the ring. Yeah. Never does.
You know what? Guerrero probably likes that. Look at Eddie. He's smiling. Don't be fooled. That temp is boiling, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's why they call him Latino Heat.
Eddie can unload, and he just might. He wants to do a tip.
Oh, and a thump to the eye! Classic Eddie Guerrero! Cal Kennedy bounced off the top turnbuckle, and all that Cal did, like you said, Taz, was fire up Eddie Guerrero! Oh! And Batista, the World Heavyweight Champion, is up. Oh, wow! Look at Cal Kennedy. Great move by Kennedy.
Yeah. Great leverage move by Ken Kennedy.
And this is where Kennedy becomes vicious on the attack. He has the upper hand.
All right, so we got a little bit of showmanship here with Eddie Guerrero getting bested by Ken Kennedy, Mr. Kennedy, who offered him a handshake. He went to shake the hand of Eddie went to shake the hand of Mr. Kennedy, and Mr. Kennedy slapped him. And then Eddie Guerrero pointed to something. Mr. Kennedy looked, and then Eddie poked him in the eye. I mean, it's really funny. I forgot about that spot. It was some of the antics and it even just making you feel emotion throughout the entire match. It's not just big moments with this man. And you know who I see in him right now currently is Angel Garza. And he looks like an older Angel Garza. And Angel Garza looks like a younger Eddie Guerrero. Now, I think it's a little unfair to compare Eddie Guerrero and Angel Garza, given that they are worlds and light years apart. It's just from a visual perspective is the only real similarity right now. But it's just kind of an interesting note. Man, it's just crazy knowing that in just a few days, this man is not going to be there. It's just weird, right? Strange stuff. So as we go on here, Eddie, it was lying and cheating and stealing. So let's see how that pans out.
Kennedy's about to eat the
Eddie realizes the referee's coming to here.
What the hell?
Eddie has tossed the evidence to Kennedy. This is classic Eddie.
Oh, my God.
Kennedy caught red-handed.
Oh, my God.
Kennedy caught red-handed.
Oh, God, you got to be kidding me.
The winner of this match as a result of a disqualification, Eddie Guerrero.
That is vintage Eddie Guerrero. Cheating and stealing. Eddie joining Lashley, Mysterio, and Batista on the Survivor Series team to be Raw at Survivor Series.
Well, Mr. Kennedy just found out that Latino Heat is an evil genius. Oh, my God, Guerrero. And he advances. Guerrero advances to the Survivor Series team on the SmackDown side of things with Batista, Rey Mysterio, and Lashley. Looking good, Colin. Looking good.
Well, Ken Kennedy. Oh, and a steel chair off the skull of Eddie.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Talk about a sore loser.
Well, Kennedy knows that this was a great opportunity.
All right, so right there what happened, if you didn't see it, was Eddie Guerrero pretended to get hit with a chair. The referee was incapacitated. He makes a crash sound with the chair, slamming it on the mat, and then tosses the chair to Kennedy and then throws himself on the mat, which made it look like Mr. Kennedy had ended up hitting him in the head with a chair. So, I mean, it's just classic stuff. And then Mr. Kennedy levels Eddie Guerrero with a chair at the end of the match. So that part I forgot, probably because that's not how I want to remember Eddie on his back. But, so Eddie ended up winning his final match via the lying and cheating and stealing methodology that he was so well known for. And it was, again, it was just such a freaking joy to watch him, even just these few minutes, right? It's just a guy that is just got it down. And so, all right, well, again, I'd encourage you guys to go watch this match. I know that this is not a long match. In fact, it's about 9 minutes and that's not even bell to bell. That's including the beginning, the entrances and the after match antics. So there's not a ton to see here, but it is just knowing, I think the whole key to this is just knowing that this is his final match and just knowing that at the time you were watching, you didn't know. You didn't know that you'd never see Eddie Guerrero again. I don't think nobody did, right? So it was a special match from that perspective. If this was not his final match, this would have just been another one of his countless lying, cheating, and stealing matches that he was known for. I mean, it would just one of we would have all just kind of filed it away in our memory banks for just another one in the bank for Eddie, right? It was just a really, really fun match, and the crowd was into it, and rightfully so. Again, Eddie was trying at this time to do a little bit of repair, friendship wise. He was trying to appease Rey Mysterio, who had just done the whole Dominic situation with Eddie, if you remember that whole conundrum, right, where he put up Dominic as like a stipulation in a match, and if he won, then he would earn the right to take custody of Dominic. I mean, it was just Eddie Guerrero could be an evil SOB, and at this time he was turning back to babyface, and he was trying to really mend fences with a lot of people that he had done wrong. Batista, who was world champion at the time, Rey Mysterio, which I just mentioned with the whole Dominic custody match. I think it was a ladder match, wasn't it? A ladder match with custody papers at the top of the ladder, I believe. And I mean, so he had a lot of people to try to win back over and to try to gain trust back, which took a long time. And again, I really wish we knew where WWE was going, with if it was just a setup for a bigger heel turn, like what Austin tried to do with the Alliance, and turn on WWF again and join the Alliance and become the leader, or if it was truly a long-term babyface run. I mean, I would hope it would be the latter, because this is a guy that could just, he could talk, he could wrestle. I mean, he could do it all. And if you didn't notice, I'll point it out to you. Michael Cole and Taz on commentary. Great team, by the way. Underrated team. He called the people in attendance fans. Wow. That's just a... Because, you know, that's what they are. They're not a part of a universe, right? We're not out there floating among the white dwarves and the stars and, I'm not going past the moon. We're not part of a universe. So stop it. I never, ever, ever, and still never can get used to the universe label that WWE puts on their fans. Can't just call us fans? Is the term fans that outdated? Does it? I think it's also just a really a way to try to remove themselves again from being pro wrestling, right? Because fans of a sport are called just that, fans, right? So if you have somebody calling you instead of a fan, you're part of the WWE universe. Well, what is that, right? It's so ambiguous. What does that even mean? What does it mean to be part of the WWE universe? It's such a vague, grotesque type of term. I never can get used to it. They labeled us that like, what, 10 years ago, it feels like. And it just is still very corporate. It's very marketing driven. It's very transparent to me anyway, of the reasons behind labeling fans as a universe rather than fans, because our fans are an outdated term. No, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, there's still MLB fans, NFL fans, NHL fans. There's still golf fans, bowling, tennis. I mean, every sport that I know of refers to their fans as, oh, you know, fans. Like, I'm getting on a rant that is just bizarre. So we're going to take a break. On the other side, I've got some more thoughts on the current product and some other little fun things. So stay right here.
You're listening to the WWE Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey guys, so retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about, but even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos, and you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
All right, let's get into it, and let's go into something that's been coming through the news wire today, something that kind of popped up that was a big story. Matt Riddle, who has been the focal point of a sexual assault allegation by Candy Cartwright, an independent wrestler. They had Matt Riddle and Candy Cartwright had a sexual relationship. Matt Riddle admitted to cheating on his wife with this woman. They had an affair. But he remains constant that he did not sexually assault this woman in any way. And he, you know, talks about how she has been texting him and using messaging apps to text him and then finding out his new number and, you know, coming to the arena. All these like crazy things that he's painting her as a complete psychopath. Right. And she's trying to present evidence otherwise, that there was this car ride in which he sexually assaulted her and all these things. So it's really a he said, she said deal. And if that's how it's going to remain, if it's going to be a he said, she said, then if I'm WWE and this thing is not going anywhere and there's no evidence being presented and there's no case, there's nothing. It's just, well, he said that and she said this. Then I'm going ahead with pushing Matt Riddle. I'm not going to be taking him off of my programming. And I'm going to play a little bit of audio from Matt Riddle talking about this today. He posted a video. It was a couple minutes. I'm not going to play the whole thing, just a little bit of snippet of it. But if I'm WWE, I'm moving ahead again. I do not want to set the precedent, if I'm WWE, of giving anonymous people power to take stars off TV and mess with their business in a big way. Because as soon as you take Matt Riddle off, it sends the message to other nut jobs out there. Again, guys, if it's deemed true and he did indeed commit a sexual assault and he's found guilty and evidence is really overwhelming, then bad job out of him. WWE should fire him. But until such time, until there's actually overwhelming evidence or it looks like it's really looking bad for Matt, I wouldn't do that. I would just continue on. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Matt Riddle's a big part of the company now. He looks like he's going to be the future of SmackDown. And it looks he's got a bright future ahead of him. As terrible as his promo was this past week, that is easily forgotten. The bigger picture here is he's going to be a big player in the years to come. Why am I going to delay him even coming on TV with an unknown amount of time for evidence that we don't know is even going to be presented? Right? So, again, if Matt Riddle's found guilty, bad job, fire him. Bye. Right? But in the meantime, if it doesn't look like things are going to go that way, and it's a he said, she said, screw that. Screw the girl. Right? The heck with her. Put Matt Riddle on our TV. Let's get going. Right? And like I said, the biggest part of all of this is WWE clearly sending the message to anybody else who's thinking about allegations, assuming that what Candy Cartwright is doing is wrong and it's false and she's just trying to be spiteful, assuming that it sends the message to anybody else who's thinking that they can just say things and create a false allegation and have a big impact on WWE's product. Because the second you do that with Matt Riddle, all of a sudden you're going to have other people speaking out that may not be truthful, and you're having other people's careers ruined simply by somebody they don't even know saying something on Twitter or the speak out movement or all these things, right? You are giving strangers an inordinate amount of supreme power to just say something, and it's automatically going to have an effect on the WWE product where stars get pulled up. Oh, he was accused. They were accused. They got no. I would say F you if I'm Vince. Let's let the evidence speak for itself. I'm not going to just go with, oh, you're guilty until proven innocent. Take him off TV. Take her off TV, right? No, this is not Stone Cold's court of law where you're guilty until proven innocent, right? So that's my take. So let's listen to Matt Riddle and his explanation of things that are happening. And again, I'm not going to play the whole thing. I know it's only a couple of minutes, but that's a long time to listen to something on a podcast. So let's take a listen, and then I'll respond.
I'm going to make this quick. I have never in my entire life sexually assaulted a man woman, or anybody. And that includes Samantha Tabble, Candy Cartwright. I never sexually assaulted you. The story about that band trip and the driver being asleep and me forcing you to do stuff and hop on, whatever, is a complete lie. It's a fabricated story because you're still mad. You know why you're mad? Because yes, you're right. We had an affair. You have plenty of evidence of that. And you know what? I never denied it because it happened. Do I want to talk about it? Do I really want to share about it? No. It's embarrassing because I feel like a real piece of crap cheating on my wife and doing that and now having to talk about it publicly. But I have to. We had a relationship. We had a fling. I started to get sad and depressed because I was lying to my wife so much to hide what I was doing. I was lying to all my friends because I didn't want anybody to know. Because it's not something cool. I didn't want to brag about it. I tried to end it. I told my wife about you and us. I tried to end it. I blocked you. I blocked your social media. You then started using messaging apps and you kept coming. I blocked those. You got my new, I got a new number. You got my new number and kept messaging me. You literally got on social media accounts for other companies, kept messaging me until I blocked them. Now you have literally started harassing me, showing up to hotels, harassing my friends. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? At this point, you have to realize if you don't think you're stalking me or harassing me, you're crazy. And if you are at home and you don't think that's harassment, you're crazy.
All right. So that I mean, that's basically the gist of it with Matt Riddle just laying into her that she's just crazy. And, you know, again, does doubt creep into your mind that Matt Riddle is just denying it because there's no evidence that he actually assaulted her? Maybe. And maybe he's only admitting to his affair because there's evidence of that, right? That's probably the only reason. And who, I mean, this is such a, you know, just a story that will, I don't think we'll ever get the full truth from it. It's just one of those he said, she said in terms of the actual assault. There's no question about the affair. That's not, you know, obviously that's a bad job out of him, but it's the assault that WWE has a problem with. Not necessarily the cheating, because let's face it, right? In WWE, in that lifestyle, there's probably more of that going on than meets the eye, right? I mean, you're on the road, you're with your coworkers that are also on the road with you. You're never home. It's really a perfect lifestyle that would promote that type of activity. So it's not surprising. He's certainly not the first or the last, and probably one of many that are currently doing such things, men and women. But that's as bad as that is and as immoral as that is, that's not what's in question. It's really about the assault. And again, if WWE was asking me what to do, I'd do exactly what they do. Move forward. I mean, again, if it turns out he was lying and there's more evidence and it becomes overwhelming, you terminate him. End of subject. You immediately terminate. It's over. And then you, you know, you move on. But right now, why mess up your product for something that's not proven and for a single accusation, right? So, okay, I think I've buried that into the ground. But let me know what you guys think. Do you think Matt Riddle is lying? Do you think there's more to it? I know it's fun to say he's lying because it's more scandalous and more interesting. But from a realistic perspective, do you guys really believe that Matt Riddle is probably lying and that maybe there was more to the story than meets the eye and that Matt's just not admitting it because there's no true evidence? So, you know, again, that's the more fun and scandalous and cool story to believe. But I don't know, right? I mean, it all also depends on your perspective. Are you a man or a woman listening to this? Have you had, you know, have you had things like this happen to you? Have you been sexually assaulted? If you have, then you're probably more likely to believe that he did commit this. But who knows? I mean, we're not the police. We're not investigators. We are wrestling fans. And I'm going to continue to enjoy Matt Riddle's run. And I do foresee a very bright future ahead of him. I do foresee many years of title runs and hopefully better promos. And hopefully that frostbite wears off his feet. I mean, oh boy. If you didn't hear my rant on that, by the way, just go back to my my show on Sunday with Michael Gross, who him and I went on quite a rant about Matt Riddle and his promo and the Frostbite explanation, which made no sense. Zero on SmackDown. It made none. You know why it made no sense? Because if you got truly frostbite and you had actual nerve damage, you would have some discoloration on your feet, number one. Number two, you wouldn't be able to compete at that high level, because if you say you don't have feeling in your feet, then you wouldn't be able to maneuver and have muscle control if you have no feeling in your feet. To be able to compete at that level would be super dangerous, and you probably would end up hurting yourself even more. And to say that you don't wear shoes because it makes your feet feel like they're burning up and gives you the feeling of frostbite again is simply scientifically inaccurate. That's not how frostbite works. Like, none of that made any sense. Whoever came up with this promo has never opened a science book, has really never really probably written for a TV show before. Or if they have, it's been like, you know, comedy or cartoons or something. It was bad. Bad explanation. just bad. So anyway, this isn't a SmackDown review, but we're on the Matt Riddle subject. So, okay. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the nostalgia tonight. I know I did. Nostalgia nights are always fun. You get to go back, and we have covered Eddie Guerrero here before. I know we have. We've covered him on, again, the Brock Lesnar incident a couple of times, or Brock Lesnar match at No Way Out 2004, when he won his first championship, world championship. And of course, the moment at WrestleMania 20 with him and Chris Benoit embracing and beating Kurt Angle that night as well. We've covered that. But we've never covered Eddie Guerrero's final match ever. And, I'd encourage you to go watch that. And really, the untold story of Eddie Guerrero, which is available on the network, of WWE Network too. So, because I think it'll give you a glimpse into, you know, when a wrestler can make you feel something, why you love pro wrestling. He will make you remember instantly why you love wrestling. And it's just such a stark contrast to what you see today in a very, very strict, controlled, micromanaged, scripted environment that is WWE, where they rely on memorization of lines and they rely on just high spots and cool moves to cover for the lack of true character development and great stories being told. That is what today's wrestling is. And I will forever be a WWE fan, but it's very superficial. It's very superficial. It's not deep. And then there's no other way for me to describe it. So, alrighty. Well, thank you guys for listening. Tomorrow will be your NXT and your AEW reviews. And then I'll be back Sunday for your weekend review. And of course, Brian and Greg will be with you on Saturday for your SmackDown review as well, for the full in-depth SmackDown review. So a lot of great shows coming for you guys as we roll into the heart of summer here. Hope everyone's staying cool. I've got my air conditioning running about 24/7 right now. It's hot. It's very, very hot up here. Mid-90s in humidity. But those of you listening and, you know, probably anywhere Virginia South are just laughing, right? Like, that's just kind of your daily routine through October. But nonetheless, thank you guys for listening. Hit me up on Twitter, or not on Twitter. I just say that out of muscle reflex because I don't have Twitter. On Instagram at WWE_podcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/thewwepodcast. And I post things there. I'm trying to do more video there. And WWEpodcast.com is where you can also, of course, find all of your podcasts as well. So thanks so much, guys. As always, talk to you soon. Hey guys, so retirement may or may not be something that you're really thinking about, but even if you are years and years away, I mean, I'm 20 years away from retirement, but it's something that we should all be thinking about. There's a company that has retirement plans that you can invest in precious metals like gold, silver, and cryptocurrency. There's also a big opportunity to grow retirement and grow income for either your personal or a business. And anyone who signs up at this website receives a free investment kit and gift. So what is this website? It's brightmoneyinvestments.com. That's brightmoneyinvestments.com. You can diversify and grow with metals and cryptos, and you can even talk to someone there to get a better idea of what you should be investing in. So head on over to brightmoneyinvestments.com.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.